Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Middle East today. Coming to you from Beirut, my name is Mariam Saleh. UN Arab League peace mediator Kofi Annan has once again warned of the danger of civil war breaking out in Syria, saying that the peace plan must be implemented as soon as possible. This comes as Syria's president, Bashar al-Assad, has appointed a new prime minister and tasked him with the formation of a new government in Syria, despite the continuous Western pressure on his government. Syria's security and political crisis carries on despite the UN's efforts to bring about a peaceful political solution. Now, to get more on this issue, I'm joined by Dr. Osman Baqash. He is head of media relations in Al-Tahrir Party. I'm also joined by Mr. Talib Ibrahim. He's a political activist joining us from Damascus, and from the United Kingdom, from London, we're joined by Mr. Christopher Walker, Middle East expert. I want to welcome you all to this show. Let me start with you, Mr. Baqash. Do you see that there could be something new in Syria other than the crisis that we see now? Do you think that all sides want to push for a solution because they don't want to see a civil war?
Well, certainly the risk of a civil war is has too many drastic consequences, not only on Syria, but for the whole region. And indeed, because of these alarming signals indicating to the rising struggle in Syria, we saw lately an accelerated drive, intensive talks between the American, Russian, European, Chinese. They seem to be heading toward a scenario similar to the one in Yemen, which pulled Yemen out of the previous uprising. So as we speak now today, the Friedrichshof was sent from Washington to Moscow to speak to his Russian counterpart. And on Thursday, Mr. Kofi Annan will address the United Nations General Assembly as well as the Security Council. On Friday, Clinton will meet with him. So lately in the past week, there has been an intensive negotiation geared toward a scenario similar to the Yemeni one. And in this, within this context, we understand the Russian statement that the staying of Mr. Assad in the presidency is not necessary. In other words, the Russians are softening their stand toward seeking and agreeing to a way out.
So you're talking about another plan other than the Kofi Annan plan. We might see something different, but based on this plan?
No, it is Kofi Annan. It's Kofi Annan, even from day one. Kofi Annan plan was built along the one by the Arab League. And even the plan proposed by the Arab League back then was endorsed by the Western, the American and the Russian, even though not explicitly and openly. What we are talking about at the end, it's a transition period whereby there will be a transition to hand over power to a new set of structure and regime to be worked on as time goes by, similar to what happened in Yemen.
Yeah, let's ask Mr. Christopher Walker in London what he thinks about the situation, especially that it seems that Bashar Assad's government still goes on with naturally with its political structure. Now they have a new parliament. Mr. Assad spoke at the new parliament. Do you see anything new in this regard?
No, there's a great deal of depression in the West about the possibility of the Annan plan succeeding. And the main cause of that, there are subsidiary causes, is, as far as I can see, the obstacle that the opposition are demanding that Mr. Assad stand down or stand aside as president before meaningful peace talks can begin. And Mr. Assad has absolutely no intention of doing that. He has strong support from Russia, which very significantly boosted that in Peking this week with a visit by Mr. Putin to China. They are the two, as it were, holdouts on the Security Council. And frankly, from this end, there seems absolutely no solution, though perhaps the phrase civil war is a little bit exaggerated at the moment, because the opposition doesn't have the heavy weaponry to make a civil war. It's more like, I would say, a vicious guerrilla war.
Uh-huh. Do you think that the West want the Kofi Annan to fail in order for them to be able to put down their own conditions, perhaps, at the United Nations or for Russia, but they haven't actually expressed it in clear terms because they could also be afraid that what's happening in Syria could extend to the entire region?
No, they are afraid of that, but I think it's too much of a conspiracy theory to say they deliberately want it to fail. But on the other hand, they realize that without Russia and China coming on board, not in just words, but in a more positive, as they would see it, opposition to Mr. Assad continuing in power and not standing aside for another, that really nothing of any significance to change the position on the ground is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me ask Mr. Talib Brahim what he thinks about how Syria will deal with this issue. Now, some people consider that Mr. Assad still has the confidence to stay in power and he will not step down anytime soon. But don't you think that perhaps if there is an international plan or a solution in order to reach it peacefully, Mr. Assad would have to perhaps step down in order for there to be a chance for national dialogue?
First, what I will say to it, that the matter of being as a president or not for President Bashar Assad, this is an internal issue. The Syrian population will decide that through elections. Some people are talking now about Yemeni scenario to be repeated in Syria. We don't find this scenario is suitable for Syria. There are a lot of reasons. Firstly, at Yemen, now Yemen is in great cause, and Al-Qaeda is dominating a very, very important parts of Yemen. We don't want that to Syria again. Another issue, President Assad, the majority of Syrian people are supporting President Assad up to now. This is what have been revealed in the last parliamentary elections, and now the state is very solid and the regime is very concrete inside Syria. There is no talking about a real split in the army or in the political structure of the regime, et cetera, et cetera. In Yemen, we found that even the brothers of President Ali Abdullah Saleh left him and they called him to step down. This is not in Syria. And now the state in Syria totally is very, very strong, very concrete. Another issue, international community is supporting Kofi Annan plan, and there is no condition in Kofi Annan to step down the president or to be in presidency. Russian said, and Gennady Gatilov, the deputy of Minister of Foreign Affairs in Russia, he said this issue is not being mooted between us and between American, and he said this is a decision of Syrian population or of Syrian nation will decide who will be the president, who will leave or who will stay. Anyway, the support of Kofi Annan plan means that the regime will stay, president will stay, but there should be a dialogue between different parties inside Syria. After this dialogue, we expect a new parliamental election and new presidential elections. After all this series of political resolution, we will see who will stay in power and who will leave. This means directly, as what I had said, the Syrian population will decide, and I think the Syrians, they know their choices and they are able to make real decisions regards to their political
regime. One significant point that you mentioned was the fact that you need national dialogue, which should take place, of course, with all the significant factions, even perhaps inside and outside of Syria, but that doesn't seem possible at the time being. So do you think the crisis will go on as it is, the internal fighting between the government and the armed groups? What do you think?
We have heard Mr. Kofi Annan a few days ago. He said he is asking that the regional and international powers to use its influence on some parties of the Syrian opposition to stop violence. And I think as a result, he will ask them to force or to make pressure, to apply pressure on these parties to come to dialogue, because dialogue is one of the most important points of Kofi Annan plan. So I think that the international community, at the end, if they want to stop the bloodshed in Syria and if they want to stop violence in Syria, there should be a balance in applying pressure on Syrian government. And I am sure that Syrian government is now wants to remove any all kinds of militant features on the streets. And I think, yes, they can. They have a real and deep commitment in Kofi Annan plan. But the problem now is in the Free Syrian Army, so-called Free Syrian Army. The problem is in some Takfiri groups, Al-Qaeda groups, who are working in Syria. Who can apply pressure on them? I am sure that Saudi Arabia and CIA can apply pressure on these groups and force it to stop violence and to come to the table for international dialogue.
All right. Yes. With that in mind, let me ask Professor Bakash. Now, it seems that we've heard from states like Saudi Arabia, Qatar, even the United States and other Western countries calling for more support for the opposition, whereas they have never called for dialogue and instead have not put pressure on these groups in order to stop the internal fighting.
Well, if we review the history of the revolution or uprising in Syria, we see that it started peacefully. It rather is a regime that has forced the militarization of the conflict, because Kofi Annan plan calls for a political process, for a political negotiation. But for that to happen, also Kofi Annan plan calls for ceasefire, the cessation of all armed struggle, as well as it called upon the Syrian government to pull out heavy artillery and weaponry from the major cities. The Syrian regime insists on pursuing the so-called the security solution, which prevents any political process to take place. So we saw, for instance, as an example, back in Hama, when the people were let free to demonstrate in Hama, the 50,000 took to the street. The result was that the mayor was dismissed from his position. So the whole process started peacefully. Only lately, in the past few months, the so-called Free Syrian Army, people have to defend themselves.
Yes, but you have groups that are perhaps not under the umbrella of the Syrian National Council, and therefore they don't know they are using violence. I mean, if you're saying that the government's using violence, but you also have other groups using violence, and in order for there to be real peace, there has to be pressure against both sides, not just the government. This is what we're trying. Why is the international, or let's say the West and the Arab states, only putting pressure on the government itself, only putting a responsibility?
Well, I have to state for the record, I speak on behalf of Hizb al-Tahrir. We consider any internal bloodshed to be forbidden. After all, we have to live together in the same society today and tomorrow and after tomorrow.
Yes.
So yes, to resort to armed conflict and civil strife and fighting, this is we reject it totally, as well as we reject foreign intervention, whether it is European, American, and knowing at the same time that yes, the Saudi and Qatari and the Turkish, they all serve the Western plan. So we denounce this intervention, but at the same time we do not accept for the Syrian regime to keep on unleashing its lethal machinery of killing and destruction across various streets and cities of Syria. This has that has to stop.
All right, let's get a response from Mr. Talib Ibrahim. I'm sure you heard our guest. He's saying that it's true that you have both sides fighting, but he's blaming the government for this. And where do you think the government could play a role in stopping this violence?
Firstly, let me highlight some issues. From the first days of this so-called revolution, it is not a revolution. It is a conspiracy against Syria and against the Syrian role in supporting resistance. And for regional politics, it is not an internal issue. From the first days, after 1 week at Nawa, there were a massacre against the military intelligence. There were more than 20 members of them. 1 week after the events began in Daraa, 20 members of them were slaughtered like goats in Nawa. We have pictures and we have clips. Another issue, 1 year ago, at the same time, 1 year ago in Jisr al-Shughur, 120 members of the security forces were slaughtered and were killed in Jisr al-Shughur. Who killed those? The regime didn't begin in using force, didn't begin in sending its army and its troops to the streets and to the villages and to the towns and all around Syria. Who made that the great massacres in Homs, in Bab Amr, etc., etc.? Who made all of this? This is this is not a real political position. These are gangs that are spreading alongside the in all of the country, in every place in the country. They are trying to remove the power of the state and to make such as what they call Imara, etc., etc. No state in the world can allow to this to be. The sectarian war, which he and civil war, which others are talking about it. Saudi Arabia began talking about it from the first day. There are a lot of TV channels who are talking day and night about sectarianism and about Alawi and Sunni, etc., etc. In Syrian society, we didn't hear that before this. This is the first time in my life. I am asking any person, and I am trying to know any person to which sex, who began that. This is not a revolution. It is a conspiracy to devastate and to destroy, to undermine the state of Syria. And this is not in behalf of Syrian population. No, this is in behalf of Saudi Arabia. This is in behalf of Israel and the United States. Israel and the United States want to fight Iran and Hezbollah. They want to fight Iran and Hezbollah inside Syria because Syria is supporting Hezbollah. They said if we want to defeat Hezbollah, we must cut the circle in Syria. Saudi Arabia and its Takfiri and Wahhabi regime, they are putting Iran enemy first. They don't talk about Israel as an enemy. So they want to fight Iran. Instead of fighting it in Bahrain or in Gulf, they are fighting Iran, of course, in Syria. Yes. And Syrian population are paying the price. Please raise your hands from Syria. The choices of Syrian population is to support the resistance, is to fight Israel, to fight the United States, and to support the president. I am living in Syria, and I know the real choices of Syria. Of course, there's opposition. There's political opposition.
Yes, of
opposition.
Course.
We respect it, and we are trying to talk.
Yes,
but
of course,
something different.
A lot of innocent people are, of course, dying still in Syria. You have, for example, the Hula massacre, which has devastated the entire world, seemingly. Will Syria accept an international investigation into this massacre?
If you are talking about Al-Hula massacre, Al-Hula massacres weren't done by Syrian army. This is impossible, and we have real proof that it was done by some militant groups who are Takfiri groups, and there are Syrian investigation. Why we don't trust the Syrian investigation? Another issue. When that some people from international community were talking about Hula, they didn't see Hula, they didn't visit Hula. They have no proof to accuse the Syrian authorities or the Syrian army. Of course, we accept international investigation at that massacre, but this investigation must work together side by side with the Syrian authorities because we have real evidence and we know who done that personally, one by one. And we have some people witnessed what had happened. Some people can say what had happened to them, some families. And I will tell you something. The majority of families who were slaughtered in Hila, are loyal to the regime.
We're
all of them
time.
Were of Shia and Alawi.
Okay. I'll come back to you. But let me just speak before we lose him. Mr. Walker, do you think that the Hula massacre was a turning point in the Syrian crisis?
No, not really. I think it was just more of the same. And whatever the Syrian representative said, it's falling on dead ears in the West because they do not accept the argument that this is simply a foreign intervention. They believe that there is a considerable amount of discontent with the government inside Syria, and that began things 15 months ago. But I think the contrary positions that we've heard on this interesting program have shown the enormous wide problems there are in solving this, and why, frankly, Mr. Kofi Annan has a very, very little chance in bringing these different viewpoints together around the table, because they will not get round the table together without preconditions on one side or the other. And with preconditions, those talks won't take place.
Or do you think that perhaps some Western pressure could lead to putting the Kofi Annan's plan under the chapter 7, the United Nations?
I think what's got to happen is Syria has got to open up coverage of this whole conflict to the world's media, not only the Western media, because all these YouTube movies that show horror, such as the recent massacre, nobody really knows the truth behind who perpetrated them. But there is a feeling, the fact that they allow very, very little press coverage or media coverage shows that in some way they're covering something up.
All right, let me come back to Professor Bakash. Now, the issue of the Hula massacre, the United States itself did not accept an international investigation into the 9/11 events because they believe it's against its sovereignty. Even some Syrians say that we do accept an international investigation, but at the same time, nothing that would contradict our country's sovereignty.
Well, there is more at stake than a matter of national sovereignty here. The Kofi Annan plan, among other points, among the 6 points, it calls for free access for media to inside Syria. You and I sitting outside Syria, we might not have direct witnesses to the events. One of the points in Kofi Annan plan is to allow open access for independent media to walk in and verify facts on the ground. And till now, the Syrian regime has refused this demand. Till now, the Syrian regime insists on pursuing the security solution. Mm-hmm. Which means we are back in catch 22. So the security situation prevents any meaningful political negotiation between the two parties. So this and yet the bloodshed and ongoing massacres take place. Mm-hmm. This bring to point the German statement that the United Security Council Chapter 7 means other pressures other than military. It doesn't have to be necessarily mm-hmm. military. The Syrian regime has to understand, because ultimately, and this is Kofi Annan said so, the Syrian state and regime bear responsibility for the well-being of the civilian in Syria. So this ongoing killing has been for over a year. This is why we saw these foreign calls for mm-hmm. outside pressure to bring about this political situation.
Yes,
solution.
Yes, because we're running out of time. Just one question, which seems to be growing. I mean, these last few days, the impact of Syria's crisis on Lebanon, northern Lebanon, especially. Many are saying that there could be a sectarian crisis in Lebanon as a result of this. What do you think? Do you think it might extend into?
This is a real risk. This is a real danger. The Syrian regime is fueling such tension and is highlighting the risk for sectarian conflict under the slogan that we are fighting Qaeda and so on. But at the same time, the ongoing strife in Syria, yes, it will spill over to Lebanon. Let's not forget, Lebanon is very closely knit and tied to Syrian state and society. Mm-hmm. We have this proximity between the two countries, two people.
Yes,
this is a real risk, and this is why we have to stress one point. Internal strife, civil strife, internal fighting has to be denounced and rejected altogether, no matter what. Any sort of violence mm-hmm. has to be stopped, seized immediately, not tomorrow. This is a duty for everybody who is really concerned for the well-being, concern for the well-being of the people in Syria
states.
And Lebanon and the region.
All right,
at the same time,
we
have to be wary of foreign intervention. Let's not forget the French and the American, they don't do charity
work. This seems to be something you've all agreed upon. But let me ask Mr. Ibrahim, because we just have 30 seconds. Can Syria perhaps be able not to let its crisis spill into Lebanon? Or do you think that it's only a reflection of the political disagreements that occur both in Syria and Lebanon?
First, the crisis which now in Syria, it has Lebanese roots, and the real problem is inside Lebanon. Let al-Hariri group stop from providing weapons and logistic support to militants in Syria, and let prevent them from intervening inside Syria. And I think the problem in Lebanon should be resolved. The problem now in Syria is very dangerous, and Lebanon is a part in Syria historically and geographically. And I think any problem will happen in Syria automatically without any intervention. It will spread to all neighbor countries.
All right, Mr. Talib Brahim there in Damascus, I want to thank you very much for joining us. Mr. Dr. Osman Bakash, I want to thank you also. And Mr. Christopher Walker is also joining us in London. Our email is metoday@presstv.com. Stay with Press TV. Goodbye for now.